Good morning. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to, of course, do our analysis and be as prepared as we can for potentially today's trading opportunities. Now it's Thursday, the 30th of October, of course. So tomorrow now is the last trading day of the calendar month, of course. And we've had a very eventful last few hours, you could say. Let me talk you through it. We'll do one thing at a time. We've got some conclusions to draw with regards to the fundamental backdrop to these markets. Please see our risk warning first. As always, be mindful of the risks involved in trading these financial markets. All profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. There's so many to choose from. You need to be able to narrow it down. Where do you then enter and exit? How do you manage risk along with trade management? We're still in two open trades, actually. We didn't really have any reason to get out of either of them. They're quite close to where we would want to take profits, but not quite getting there. So we're still in those trades. Along with trading psychology, getting your head around these markets is really quite useful. Good morning, Hristo. Hope you're well. So we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news. So this is when it gets a little bit more exciting. Of course, we've got the government shutdown still in the US. That doesn't seem like it's changing anytime soon. Just important to take note. We're seeing a sizable increase in inflation for the Australian economy, which is a bit alarming for the RBA, with rates, if I just show you on the left-hand side here, the RBA, they're at 3.6. They've now got inflation running up year on year to 3.5. So we're virtually neck and neck. And some of these central banks, they have already, they've got their interest rate below the current rate of inflation. So there is an optimism that inflation is going to be transitory again. There's that word that we've been burned from before during COVID or coming out of COVID. So just something to monitor and keep an eye on. We did get that 25 basis point rate cut from the Bank of Canada. That wasn't particularly important for financial markets more broadly. Crude oil inventories, the number came in actually remarkably weaker than the markets were expecting. We had a little bit of a bounce in crude oil. The overall sort of supply-demand dynamics for gold, in our opinion, sorry, for US oil, is still on the weaker side. So quite surprising that we didn't get more of a bit of a move higher, but prices have now begun to roll back over to the downside. And we did get a 25 basis point rate cut from the FOMC. Now, we categorized it. We were broadcasting last night, and we categorized the federal funds rate statement and Jay Powell's press conference as more so on the neutral end. So if we went back to September's meeting, we were pretty much quite dovish, and we thought at the time it was remarkably dovish, that the Fed were in a bit of a hurry to start cutting rates. Now, I suppose the Fed are taking, and Jay Powell's taking, a neutral position. So they've seen the markets rally over the last 5, 6 weeks, which we're not, I don't think anyone's particularly surprised about that. If you pump the markets and they rally higher, I don't think that's a bit of a surprise, or probably shouldn't be a surprise. So we would refer to it as somewhat neutral. Basically saying, look, it's not a done deal that we're gonna cut rates in December. And this is where I just want to bring in the CME FedWatch tool, which just sort of demonstrate what the market interprets and what it believes it will do. So we were at 81 or 84. I think it was 81% yesterday, and now we're down to 70% chance. So the chances of a 25 basis point rate cut has lowered. That's fair to say. Now there was the chances of staying where they are is also increased quite considerably. So 70-30 basically is where we're at. And we were at sort of 80-20-ish there or thereabouts. So the Fed have just backed off a rate cut in December a little bit. I still think we probably get our 25 basis point rate cut. I'm not too sure we're going to get that much data between now and then. It really depends when this government opens and when the slew of data actually comes through and what that data looks like, of course. If it is panic time for US jobs, then we're very, very guaranteed another rate cut. Now, with this backdrop, our expectations were perhaps for the Treasury markets, bond yields to actually to be lower. Instead, again, in line with the indecision around these markets, it's rallied. So, and when this was dropping, we were seeing the dollar really be quite strong, which is counterintuitive. We'd expect the it's the other way around. So when government bond yields lower, we would probably see the dollar weaken accordingly. When there's slightly more risk being priced in, like we've seen, we'd probably expect the dollar to strengthen. Except what we're seeing with the dollar is the other way around. We've seen it strengthen, you know, during the recent period of this moving lower, and now we're seeing it weaken a little bit. So it's a bit of an upside down dynamic, and we've seen this is probably only regarded as a short term pullback, but we were at 3.42 and now we're up at nearly 3.6. So, you know, the higher this rallies, the more caution and concern there is in markets, which means the price of these bonds over these durations are actually coming down, and the yields are actually pushing higher. So this is creating a little bit of short-term concern. Let's see how the bond markets play out today. And there is, I suppose, a note of caution being priced in to say, right, well, there is a chance now, a bigger chance that the Fed won't actually cut in December. However, our position last night, leaving the live broadcast, was to suggest that it doesn't really change things significantly, in our opinion. So that was the FOMC, that we're still very likely to get that 25 basis point rate cut. We're still not particularly likely to get that much data through. It depends when the government comes back online. And that seems to lie in Donald Trump's ability to just click his fingers and the government just comes back. Now there's lots of ongoing discussions around the health system and the fact that with so many people being taken off some of the healthcare subsidies, it's likely to massively increase premiums, which is a big issue really for the Democrats. Something like 12 to 15 million people will be without health cover in the US, which is not a good position. So I don't know how they're going to square that circle, but it doesn't seem to be in Trump's wishes of things to do. So look, that's there's quite a lot going on from a geopolitical perspective. We've got a Trump and Xi. I thought that was later on today, but it's actually we've already had the Trump Xi conference, and I suppose just an easing of tensions, I guess you would say. Now, it's not just, it's also corporate earnings that are of significant interest. And look, we're seeing these, you know, it's pretty much green on the screen. There's a couple of areas of sort of mild, not quite hitting targets. But you can see the vast majority of everything else is pretty strong. This is a strong earnings report backdrop. So Microsoft coming in over 2 billion more revenue than what was forecast, an increase as well in the earnings per share. Google, we got, you know, 2.5 billion more than what the market was expecting, and 2 billion more in Meta. So the revenues are there and remarkably impressive. And it appears to be like that across the board. You know, 80%+ of these corporate earnings are all exceptional. Now, we've got Apple and Amazon today. Let's see if they also meet expectations. We probably anticipate that they will do. And there's a lot of capital on the table. Sorry, just going back to that earnings report. Look, we've got, just between these two companies, we've got $6.46 trillion worth of market cap on the table. And yesterday we had 9 trillion. So today is an equally significant day between Apple and Amazon. So it's just looking all really quite positive. So that's the backdrop. So are we that interested in sort of selling these markets? Unfortunately, no is the answer. Apart from a little bit of caution from Jay Powell, our bias is still, I mean, we've got some wide ranges now, but our bias is still very much to the upside for the S&P 500, very much still for the upside. And we've made new all-time highs just in the early hours for the NASDAQ. Our bias is still from these levels higher for markets like the Eurodollar. There might be an opportunity to get into the Aussie dollar. We've had a bit of a pullback yesterday, running into the 50-period daily moving average. And then we run into some interesting markets. So our bias for markets like oil is very much lower. So we're looking for, we had a bit of a rally yesterday off the back of the really, really positive US crude oil inventory numbers. Our bias is very much to the downside. So there's no doubt strong support around the $6 level, but we're still in this trade to the downside. And hopefully if we break the $60, we probably do have, you know, a decent sort of move lower, we're anticipating. So it's really gold that's going to be quite an interesting one. What we can do is we can identify strong resistance just above these current levels, but also really, really strong support below those current prices. So we're kind of trading within this range. So basically we get back above 4,000, where we'd be advocates of a buying opportunity above these levels. Remains to be seen how much volatility we'll get. We might be taking a bit of a break now in markets like gold. But below the 38 or the 3900, really, our bias would certainly be to the downside. And as we're currently in the middle, we're just kind of just wanting to just take a little pause at this point. Right. So look, that's our analysis for the session. As a result, this is our technical bias. We've been looking for buying opportunities in the S&P and the NASDAQ. In the euro dollar and maybe something like the Aussie dollar might give us an opportunity to scale into what is effectively a risk on market dynamic. And then crude oil, our bias is lower. It's going to be really interesting to see if we can make that move below $60. And gold, we're in a bit of a waiting period now for gold. So that's a little breakdown of market fundamentals. The risk sentiment is, for us, still really quite positive, and the technical charts are as we've discussed. So risk on market conditions as we await major central bank rate decisions. And so risk on. So let's just taper it a little bit because of the FOMC. So mild risk on market conditions as we await ECB central bank rate decisions. Oh, sorry, just regarding the Bank of Japan, the BOJ. So let's just have a quick look at that, because we've had the BOJ hold their rates at less than 0.5. We've probably had the press conference conclude by now. So let's just have a quick look at the dollar yen. Yeah, it seems that the carry trade is still intact. So the moves that we saw for the last couple of days were false moves. That's what we were concerned about. So dollar weakness, yen weakness is back in vogue again, with quite what seems to be a bit of a dovish. Sorry, where did that go now? All right, I'll fix that afterwards. So a bit of a forced move in the build up to the BOJ, with the expectation that the BOJ might soften their policy, but actually, no, that's not really what they're doing. Okay, so look, on that note, guys, we let you guys go. We're just going to amend our trade plan for the day, and this is what we're going to look for opportunities in. So we'll just put ECB rate decision and MAG and so still important, but we will probably expect those earning numbers to come in pretty strong. So as a result, US indices to the upside. So we're looking for US indices strength. We're still looking for dollar weakness. We're still, you could argue, technically in that pullback phase for many of those markets. So we're going to see where's the best opportunity perhaps to lean into that weaker dollar. And US oil still below that $60 level. Represents a trade worth looking at. And gold, we don't really have anything to work with just yet. So mentally, that's what we can do. We're still sort of keeping our trade size somewhat on the lower side. Took a little bit more size in US oil. But we're kind of cherry picking some of the opportunities that we're going to take a bit more risk on. And hopefully we'll finish the week strong. So that's what we can look for over the course of today. So look, those of you that are joining us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there in just a couple of minutes' time. And really, we're although Jay Powell tried to take a bit of heat off the situation, we still broadly have quite a dovish Fed due to the weaker employment backdrop. He has acknowledged that employment numbers are slightly weakening and inflation numbers is moving the other direction, but at a slower rate than perhaps what the markets were expecting. We've got this massive AI rally in the background. So risk on, indices up. So dollar down, but we're getting bond yields kind of rallying, which is, again, sort of slightly counterintuitive. But we'll keep an eye on what that dollar's doing. So we're in this sort of risk on camp still for now, because we've got nothing else really to lean into. A few sort of negative aspects to Jay Powell don't really cut it for us. So on that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. Those of you that want to join us for the European trading session, we'll try and put this trade plan to work. So on that note, we let you guys go. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone. Take care yourselves. Bye for now.